This recording, Brazil 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she whipped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mr. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in São Paulo, Brazil. São Paulo, it's a big city, like we could compare to New York, where there are many subways and bus and, you know, a lot of people on the streets. It's a mess. What else? When I lived there, I was going to university there, and I was studying education, and at the same time I was doing theater besides school. And I don't know, São Paulo is a really a place that you have many museums and theaters and a lot of art, so you can always see something. There's always something to do, you know. There is this avenue that is called Paulista Avenue, and there is this museum, MASP, and there are a lot of arts, and they always bring like new arts for like a while to stay there, and then they take to someplace else, and it's really interesting. Yeah. My husband, he had his best friend was in a missionary work in Brazil, so my husband bought a ticket to visit him, but when he was going, for some reason his friend's wife got sick, so they had to come back to Brazil. So my husband, like, it didn't have the reason to go, but he couldn't change the ticket, So because, yeah, he couldn't change the chicken. So he knew this, his friend, there was another friend that knew Brazil, that went to Brazil before. So he said, bro, I'll go with you. And then we just changed the chicken to São Paulo instead, to the other city you were going to. And then that's what they did. And then they went to my city. And then this, his friend knew my church. I used to go a Japanese church. And so this friend knew my church, so they went there to visit, and we met there at church. And then when we met, I knew like really few words in English, like, hi, my name is Susan, nice to meet you, you know, things like that. And my husband, he's white, but he learned Spanish. And because Spanish and Portuguese are so similar, he was speaking Spanish with me and I was speaking Portuguese. And I knew some Spanish words, so we could talk, and really slowly we could talk. And then, and little by little, I start learning English. And that's when I was talking to you, like, for example, like when I do the TH sound, I know that I have to put my tongue between my teeth, for example. But it's... like things like that he taught me. But basically my English come from when I came here, I start to go to Citrus College, and I start like just studying like history of theater, things all about theater that I like, and that's that way I start learning English, like doing something that I like, you know. It's pretty much well, I went backpacking to Europe. I went to meet with my friend, my best friend. She's living right now in Dublin. So we met in London and we stayed there in a hostel, which was really interesting. And from there, we went to Oslo in Norway. And it's really interesting place. It was really hot and we walked a lot, but it was really beautiful, like many places that you can go and see. And the people, oh my gosh, we met this old guy. He was like feeding the birds on the ocean, not the ocean, the canal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then and then he knew like few words in English, and he started like feeding the birds, he was feeding the birds shrimp. And then he starts saying, oh, this is my boss, and this is my daughter, and this is my cousin. It was the only words that he knew. And then in some way we start like talking like that. And then we even took a picture together, like he hugging us. And he was so sweet.